Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Finn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Sky Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
One of the best MVPs and one ex-MVP. Mark and Rob together offer over 40 years Microsoft experience. Robert Crane. He's an Office Servers and Services MVP, the Director of CIA Ops for over 20 years, and a very sought-after presenter. Visit CIAOps.com. Mark Keane. He's an Azure TSP working at Microsoft, building constructive tension, the productive force that makes customers want to use Microsoft Azure. All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. And brought to you by Ingram Micro Cloud. Streamline the provisioning, billing, and management of your clients' popular cloud business applications, including Microsoft Azure, Office 365, Skykick, and more with the Ingram Micro Cloud Marketplace and Cloud Store. Get started now with Azure with the Ingram Micro Easy Azure program at www.ingrammicrocloud.com.au/Microsoft-Azure. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Welcome along to a Need to Know podcast, and this is the last podcast for 2017. We're all done, we're all dusted. Once we get this out, obviously. And of course, as always, here's my co-host, Mark Keane. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Not too bad. It's the silly season. How are you coping?
It's not good. It's just full on. It's flat out. I was just saying before to you offline, it's just jumping from one to the other, and people need answers, and people trying to leave things to the last minute before Christmas, change freeze happens. Everyone's trying to get things done, and you just sort of don't have the time as much as you'd hope to sort of really get into the detail of each thing that customers need. So, trying to get as much done as possible.
All right. Well, let's
in amongst that booking flights and hotels for conferences next year. And
well, let's focus on the positive. I think is so you have some holidays organised. We hope.
Only the 3 days between Christmas and New Year, but. Emails are still coming through thick and thin. There's meetings happening, there's customer demands, there's customers are moving to the cloud and they need answers and stuff they need to work on. But not only that, even during the holidays, it doesn't stop because there's onboarding stuff which I've still got to finish and a whole bunch of other things that I've got to go through. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, generally, unfortunately, it seems to be that the Christmas New Year breaks are generally a very busy time for most IT people. A lot of people do migrations. A lot of people trying to catch up. They're planning the next year. So if you're in IT, it just never seems to stop. So hopefully all our listeners can take a bit of a break. They can get a bit of a jump on next year. But it's been a pretty big 2017, hasn't it?
It's been massive. And unfortunately, not all good news, some bad news, but look, it's in a nutshell, 2017's been a ramp up to something which we haven't really gone into before in this world. I mean, this whole concept of cloud computing, people have grasped it massively, I reckon. This time last year, Rob, you'd probably agree that there was not as many people sort of moving to the cloud at this fast pace that it is right now.
I certainly agree. I think we're getting to that tipping point, or we're past the tipping point now where people are asking why, they're now asking how. We're seeing more and more people dive on board. Obviously, Azure and Office 365 are still growing in three figures, so they're growing really, really quickly. More and more stuff is moving across. And again, I think we're seeing that, like I said, this follow-up wave of the majority of people were beginning to reach the fact where people are saying, you know, we need to go to the cloud to have the flexibility, to have the agility to do what we need, to scale. And again, you know, we're sort of coming down to a bit of a consolidated group of providers, I think. And I think Microsoft is leading the pack there with Azure and Office 365. But there's still a lot of a way to grow. And we've seen some changes, some improvements, some new things rolled out for the products, which we maybe will spend a little bit of time before we jump into some news just talking about that sort of stuff. So what was your big takeaway, you think, with Azure this year? What's the one thing that really you know, got you excited, or you thought was different, or yeah. You know?
Okay, all right. Well, there's a couple of ones on that one. First off, the analogy is the bathtub. It's you got all the water in the bathtub, and then you pull the plug out, and most of the water goes down. But then at the very end of it, the last part of the water that's trying to empty out the bathtub, it like has that sucking mode, like that mode, like at the very end. Like that's the analogy I use. Like people are just leaving things to the last minute to try and push as much stuff through that pipe as possible to move to the cloud, and they're just like, everyone's sort of leaving it to the end. It's sort of like that in a way. But I think the biggest news item for us is the fact the Canberra Data Center announcement, and that came out a couple of months ago, and so that's going to be, I reckon, big for us in 2018.
Yeah, I think that we see the continued growth of Azure. So I've seen it growing into the Canberra region. Microsoft has obviously announced region now in South Africa. So again, the demand for data centers, the demand for the Azure technology, and Office 365 as well, is also growing at a pretty fair clip. So I think that's going to obviously continue into 2018. There's going to be more people moving more workloads. Those data centers are going to continue to grow. So I think there'll be plenty of work still cut out for you, Mark.
I know, right? It's going to get huge. Plus, not only that, this conference is early next year to go to. But oh well, that's life. That's part of the job, and that's the world we live in. And
I think part of it too is also you've had some big changes personally. Obviously, you're now full time with Microsoft, with a full proper Microsoft address. So it's also been a big change there for you as well.
The biggest thing which somebody said to me, like when I first started, is it's definitely a team sport, 100% a team sport. And I thought to myself, what does that mean? It's like, okay, well, now I sort of get that. There's no I in team, and you've really got to have a reliance on other team members in a way where you've got to show face that, okay, we are one company, one Microsoft company, and we're going into customer meetings not as a sole person, but you are part of a like an engine as such, and just understanding where you fit in as a person into that team. And also to understanding how you can utilize other team members at your disposal to help in your role. So understanding all that and how it all fits together is probably one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, we're seeing disruption in many corners. Obviously, IT has now become the bedrock for so many businesses, so dependent on technology to run day-to-day. They can't afford it to be down, inverted commas, and obviously now they're looking to shift it to the data centers, to move to the cloud, to give them that ability without the necessary expense. So, again, all we can see is, unfortunately, Mark, is going to be more work.
Yeah, which will be good, I guess. It's like, learning how to read, I guess. You just got to keep going, reading, learning, and the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. And then before you know it, you'll just be like second nature. It'll be old hand.
Yeah, keep doing it until you die, and that's when you can have a rest, I think, probably by the sound of it.
Well, maybe. But then again, as you know, like the cloud never stops. It always changes, and you got to always be on your toes and keep learning things. But I think the processes in themselves and how things work and stuff like that will be second nature, so that part will be easier. So some part of the part of life will be easier, but then keeping up with the cloud, I guess that's why we're here, Rob, to keep you up to date with all the latest news and happenings with the Microsoft Cloud.
Yeah, so from my point of view, I think that probably the big game changer or the most important thing, which I think is still flying under the radar somewhat in our space, is the Microsoft 365 product, which is the combination of Office 365, Windows 10, and EMS, the Enterprise Mobility EMS. And Security. I think that Microsoft is realigning itself very much behind this product. So they're obviously saying it's not a rebrand. They're not saying it's something rehashed. They're basically using it, I think, as the cornerstone going forward. So I think it's going to be a very, very important thing for resellers, especially to get involved and understand the additional features, functionality and power that this product is going to give them. So that was announced at the partner conference around June or July. So again, if you haven't embraced that, if you haven't done some research on that and found out what it is and what it can do, I'll recommend my YouTube videos. I've done a couple of videos on the Microsoft 365 space. There is a business and an enterprise SKU with some differences there, but it basically will give you, like I said, Windows 10 and EMS on top of your standard Office 365 SKU.
Yep. Okay. So shall we kick off with a few news items then?
Why not? Why not we do some news to keep us in the mode that we've always progressed for 2017? We don't think we'll change this because obviously news is going to be coming thick and fast. Exactly. So why don't you kick us off, Mark?
Okay. So the first news item, it's not really, I guess, news, but it did come out just recently. Start-stop VMs during office hours or during off hours. There's a new solution available in Azure Automation. The start-stop VMs during off-hours solution starts and stops your Azure virtual machines on user-defined schedules, provides insights through log analytics, and sends optimal emails by leveraging, optional emails, I should say, rather, by leveraging SendGrid. So it also supports Azure Resource Manager and classic VMs. The solution provides a decentralized automation capability for customers who want to reduce their costs leveraging serverless, low-cost resources. Now, it includes the options to schedule VMs to start-stop, schedule VMs to start-stop in ascending order using Azure Tags, so you can do it in a specific order, which is good if you've got like multi-tiered applications, so front tier, mid-tier, back-end tier, for example. Also, you can auto-stop VMs based on low CPU usage as well. So more info of that in the show notes and in my blog. The other one I've got here is too, is bring your vocabulary to Microsoft Video Indexer. So Video Indexer now supports industry and business-specific customization for automatic speech recognition, or ASR for short. There's an acronym which is slightly confusing because ASR is also Azure Site Recovery. So automatic speech recognition, It does all the customization through the integration with Microsoft Custom Speech Service. So the automatic speech recognition is an important audio analysis feature in Video Indexer. Speech recognition is artificial intelligence at its best, mimicking the human cognitive ability to extract words from audio. So automatic speech recognition systems are great, but when it comes to recognizing specialized vocabulary, ASR systems, just like humans, they need to adapt. So for example, Rob, if you throw words at it, like, for example, ASR, like an acronym, or let's say words like, what else? Like Kubernetes, for example, which sort of sounds like communities, it's gonna struggle. So Video Indexer now supports a customization layer, okay? So for speech recognition, this allows you can teach the automatic speech recognition engine how to deal with new words, acronyms, and how they're used in your business context. So as an example, there's a video on Azure Containers. It's been uploaded as a video to the Video Indexer service without adaption, so just raw, okay? So after a few minutes, that Kubernetes word will be indexed, but it comes across as communities, which is understandable. So it's trying its best here. It's like you learning acronyms for the first time. You're trying to work out what it is and you try and guess. So this is where you can help it massively. So all these issues can be solved. All you need to do is basically apply language adaption. It's like adapting yourself to language, and you upload an adaption file, and that's pretty much it. So to help with it. So there you go. So more info of that in the show notes and in my blog. The other one I got here is, Rob, here's one for you, GDPR. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, that's the new European Union requirements around privacy and protection for individual knowledge. So it covers the requirement to protect individuals' knowledge for those people who are citizens of the EU. That applies as an individual, but also as a company. If you don't comply with that, there are super big fines. So again, something that people should have on their radar.
Okay, so it stands for General Data Protection Regulation. So General Data Protection Regulation, you probably heard of it. It comes into effect, as Rob said, it's a big thing. It comes into effect on May 25 next year. So individuals will have greater control over their personal data, which is a good thing. Additionally, the GDPR imposes new obligations on organizations that collect, handle, or analyze personal data. So implementing the right processes and organizational changes to comply with GDPR is not an easy task, and Microsoft is here to help, because Microsoft's jumped on the bandwagon fairly early in the process, and we've had internal training in relation to this quite a bit. So with 10 chapters, 99 articles, and 160 requirements, the GDPR is a complex law, and implementing all of this will be a challenge. So Microsoft has created a highly detailed guide. So here you go. Microsoft France, to be exact, recently published a detailed implementation guide, which is available online. There's a link in the show notes and in my blog. It's called GDPR, Get Organized and Implement the Right Processes. So there you go. Microsoft is here to help you jump on board. So definitely take a look at that if you're running a business, because yeah, it comes into effect May 25 next year.
Cool. All right. Well, why don't I give you some updates on Office 365. So we've had some improvements in the Outlook connector that works with Microsoft Flow. So Microsoft Flow, again, is one of those services that sits underneath the radar, I think, for a lot of people. And again, they don't appreciate that it's built into every Office 365 tenant. It gives you the ability to automate processes and connect services that are Office 365, but also external services. So you can push tweets out, you can read Facebook posts, you can route email. So again, they've added some additional functionality when it comes to working with Outlook and Flow. So again, that's going to allow you to enable and automate more of your email processes. Again, we've now got the recordings from the Australian Summit. So the Australian Partner Summit was back in November. Mark and I were both there, and they have now done some recordings, placed them up for people to view. So if you were there and you'd like to see some of those, or you weren't there and would like to catch up on all the happenings, then again, we'll put a link in the show notes to make sure that that is available to you, and you can obviously keep up to date, something to do while you're obviously relaxing with a beer under the hot Australian sun or wherever you may be. We've also seen some, again, some more additions and updates to the Microsoft apps on devices. So your iOS app and and Android are also improving at a pretty regular clip. So make sure that you go in and update your, you know, your OneDrive app, your OneNote app, make sure
Outlook,
all that sort of stuff. So Outlook's doing some cool stuff. Also, don't forget to have a bit of a play with the Microsoft Whiteboard Preview that's now available for Windows 10 devices. So
I downloaded that.
Have you started using it at all?
Well, very briefly, but you can't use it with your mouse because, or your finger, I think. I can't remember. I think you need a pen, and I don't normally carry my pen with me.
Right, I see. Okay, so again, it's something to play with. It's a good way to do some demos. I'm hopefully looking to do it when I do webinars and presentations. I think it's going to be something that's really good. It's come from the Surface Hub device, so it allows you basically have a nice big whiteboard and then give you all the digital,
digital
benefits of that. So yeah, it seems pretty cool.
Yeah, I noticed that. The same sort of icons down the bottom and things like that. So it's quite helpful because we got the Surface Hubs in all our meeting rooms. So I sort of had a head start learning how to use all that.
So one of the things that Flow has also given us of late, or is rolling out, is the ability to have a Flow launch panel in SharePoint List and Library. So again, Flow is the automation engine. It has been somewhat in the background, I think, when it comes to Office 365. You needed to go in there manually and find it and then set up the service, but they're now beginning to surface that ability directly in things like SharePoint. So if you go into a SharePoint List or Library, you'll typically find a Flow button. So you can use that to create a Flow, and then when you do create a Flow, the flows you create will also be listed under that location. So one of the ones, for example, that I use is the ability to block out an hour of my calendar immediately. So you can push a button or run this flow and it will automatically block out an hour in your calendar, but lots and lots of things that you can automate. Another one that I do is around the automation of social media tweets and things like that. So again, if you can basically define it, then I think you can automate it, and we sure certainly need more and more automation, I would suggest. Anything else on the Azure side, Mark?
Well, there is a planned maintenance coming up, which I'm sure you've heard of before. It's basically they're doing maintenance for virtual machines across Azure. So it's not sort of too difficult. You just got to be on the lookout. You will be notified in due course, and you'll have the option to, not everyone's notified basically, but if you're have virtual machines running, you'll be notified, and it's just a simple case of deallocating and reallocating and so forth. Information on that, there's quite a bit of it being talked about in online across through Microsoft, through Channel 9 videos and so forth. So we'll put a link to that just to remind everybody in the show notes and in my blog.
Cool. All right. So I think that probably another, just thinking about it, another big thing this year has been obviously the release of the Fall Creators Update for Windows 10, and also that brought with us the OneDrive on demand. I think that's a bit of a game changer as well. I think that's a big thing in the Office 365 space now, is to get the ability to have a list of all your files, leave the majority in the cloud, and only sync what you need. Certainly upgraded. I use that on a regular basis as well, so I'd certainly recommend that to people. You'll need the Fall Creators Update, so you'll need 1709 version of Windows or better to start using that, but that's really, I think, a bit of a game changer. I think Mark's a big supporter of that, aren't you, Mark?
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Cool. All right. What else we've got here in Office 365 news? So we've got some information on some tutorials, speaking of the sync client for Windows and Mac. So the Mac side of it is quickly reaching, I think, parity, or getting towards parity with the Windows devices, especially when it comes to sync. We're also seeing things like the advanced threat protection now being available in SharePoint, OneDrive, and Microsoft Teams. So we face a pretty challenging world out there when it comes to security. Advanced threat protection has been available to us with the messaging, with emails, and Microsoft has now rolled that out to things like SharePoint and OneDrive and Teams. So you're going to be able to protect your files, protect your information much easier using Microsoft's advanced security analytics and actions. And again, something that will be available in the appropriate tenants. Anything else there, Mark, that grabs your fancy on Azure?
No, not really. Only the fact that coming ahead in leaps and bounds, and over the Christmas New Year break, just check back on the last few episodes of the podcast, especially in my blog. I've got links to a whole bunch of articles which have come out. There's about three different articles which have come out. And also, too, don't forget to OpenEDX is a good service to use if you're having some downtime over Christmas New Year to ramp up for next year. Just short answer is you need to stay on top of everything. So the more you, if you're sort of having a bit of a break from work, don't sort of take a break from sort of staying up to date. And as Rob was saying before, you can sit down and have a beer and have a read at the same time.
So I think at this point we probably need to, again, pause and thank our listeners, the regular listeners out there who obviously give us time during their busy week to listen to the updates that we have and give us some feedback. So I've had some recently very positive feedback from people, so we appreciate that. Keep that coming. Let us know what sort of topics what we want to cover in deep dive sessions. So we've done something around SharePoint, we've done file sync, we've done directory services. So there's lots and lots of stuff out there, and obviously Mark's the expert on it all, so he'll be able to help us.
Oh, thanks for that, expert. Yeah, right. Things are changing at a fast pace. Yeah, all right.
So I think
I'll do my best.
Well, I think that again, we need to acknowledge Mark and the hard work that he's done, because producing the podcast of such high quality audio has been a big thing.
Please, couldn't have done it by myself. It's no I in team.
No, I see. Right, and we also have to to thank our sponsors, especially Rode, Mark's favourite sponsor, to give us the sound quality. So that's been great support. And obviously Ingram Microcloud has also been a great supporter of the podcast. And hopefully we look forward to renewing that in the new year, along with growing our user base. And again, we thank everybody for being on this journey with us, and again consuming that and providing feedback. Hopefully we've given you the news, we've given you a bit of entertainment, a bit of a different look and approach to technology, not the cut and dried stuff that we do see out there, given that there's so much information to get across. We've given it a bit of personality. I think you'd agree with that, Mark. We've given it personality, have we?
That's the feedback that we've gotten, isn't it? There's quite a bit of feedback we've gotten, and that's what people are commenting. So yeah, definitely, 100% agree.
All right, so I think as we round it off and we let Mark deal with his day, get ready for his holiday, pack his kids into their suitcases and send them off somewhere else to enjoy Christmas and Santa, what are you most looking forward to in the technology space for 2018? You know, if you had a wish list, if you could go to Tech Santa and basically say to him, please deliver this, or can we have this in the new year, what would you like to see from Azure?
Me?
Yeah.
I can't say it on a podcast.
Oh, I see. One of those. But surely there's something we can talk about.
Yeah, but I don't want to get into trouble.
Oh, I see. All right. So I think from my point of view...
If I do say something, it was not going to be from the heart. There's definitely something, but I just... You go first, and I'll see if I can think of something else.
Mark is going to keep us in suspense while he drums up something to think about. So I think that from my point of view, I think the big ask I would have is that it would be nice to look at the Microsoft 365 and the Office 365 and probably bring some of those integrations tighter together. So we've got Teams, we've got Groups, we've got a whole range of services out there that, you know, they do work really well and they do integrate together in many respects. But at the moment, it's somewhat complex, especially for users to use the product. So again, some tighter integration. We understand that the product's constantly changing and improving. But again, I think that if we could spend, dedicate some time, I think from Microsoft's point of view is just making these things a little bit tighter, a little bit more integrated, a little less confusing. And I think that would be a really big positive and really help the product to grow. I think that it has provided some, you know, major advantages and opportunities there. And it's probably getting to that point now where it's at such a size that a little bit of consolidation, I think, would be good just to begin to tidy things up, bring things together, and make it a little bit easier to understand, especially for users, as to, you know, where do I put my information? Do I put in Yammer? Do I put it in Teams? Do I put it in Groups? All this sort of stuff is really confusing, I think, for a lot of organizations, because for them, they're going through this quote-unquote digital transformation, and again, jumping into the new world of things like SharePoint, Teams, and Groups, and those things can be a bit daunting. And you know, they want to make sure they do it right, and having so many tools at their disposal can be a bit confusing. I know there is guidance out there, but again, it will be nice to see things like our tasks and things integrated, the ability to Planner, again, just that slightly tighter integration. I'm sure Microsoft's working on that in the back end to bring that to us, but I'd like to see a little bit of consolidation when it comes to that integration with the product. Is that enough time for you? Have you got something?
Yeah, something. Well, not really. I think.
Do you want me to give you something? Mark?
Well, hang on. I was actually just thinking about just in terms of rollouts and the speed and how cloud is fast-paced and the cloud is like dog years. Have you heard that term before?
Yep, 7 years to 1 year.
It's more like 8 or 9.
Now it is, definitely.
Yeah, and it used to be every 3 year cycles, but now moving into the world of cloud just non-stop, just like so quickly, things come out and things change. I think moving into 2018, looking back, I wouldn't say it's been smooth for everybody. If we look at it from a holistical point of view, for every single person out there, how they're adopting and adapting to the cloud and change in general. In 2018, I would like to see things a little smoother, somewhat. And look, this is not just Microsoft I'm talking about. I'm talking about other cloud providers as well, the cloud in general, just changes in general. So updating, just getting people getting used to these this new methodology of the fast pace and adapting to it in such a way that they can, because it's a changing world for sure, definitely. And that's pretty much what I had in mind, Rob.
So my Azure one would definitely be is I'm really keen, looking forward to what Microsoft is going to do with the Azure File Sync service. So we saw that come out just after Ignite and the ability to synchronize files to an SMB share. We've now got the ability to snapshot those as well. So I think that I have a lot of great hope in that product and what it can do. I think it will fill a fantastic, will fill a gap that's currently in the market in a really, really amazing way. And hopefully Microsoft can really bring its technology to bear on that. So in the Azure space for me, I'd really like to see that Azure File Sync service really kick on and take it to the next level or two.
That's easy, Rob. I know. So basically, so Azure File Sync, it was announced a few months ago. It's still sort of in preview mode, public preview. What it does, Rob, file server and disk storage is maybe the problem. You join the file server to a sync group in Azure Files, and then you have a cloud endpoint into that as well, and it basically sets up syncing. So pretty much the stuff that's been talked about that's coming out. So I'll tell you, this is all sort of public knowledge in the public domain, because Aidan Finn, do you know Aidan Finn?
Yes, he's been on the podcast before.
Okay, so basically there is a, hang on, as soon as I find it. So there's going to be a backup solution coming out soon. So, okay, so here we go. So coming out when it gets released. So at the moment, you've got the preview, you've got network ACLs, and you've got Azure Monitor and all that sort of stuff. So coming out, you'll be able to share snapshots preview. So a data consistent share snapshot, I should say. And also Azure Backup integration preview. So you can create policies to back up a storage account. And also to you get local redundant storage price reduction of 25%. So that's all coming out. So I did actually check this internally and that information is correct. So yeah, there's a blog post, Aidan Finn online. In fact, we'll put the link on it. It's a good little summary of the service itself and the new stuff that's out, that's coming out.
Yeah, so I think again, a bit immature as a product, but it is very, very new, but again, a lot of people still working with on-prem file servers. They need to sync them up. This way I give them access to put it into Azure and SMB Share, which they can map to directly using a drive letter from the machine, but also get the backup and all the other advantages it gives. So really, really keen on this service, really keen to see what Microsoft does, how it integrates with it, and really hope they throw some development time and dollars behind it to really fill a gap which I see currently out there in the market. And again, hopefully it will further integrate with the things in Azure, and it would be nice potentially as well to have some integration back into Office 365. So again,
yes, so currently the retention it's saying here is 120 days for the snapshots, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like if you want to sort of sync all your on-prem stuff, but when it gets GA'd, backups itself will be to the actual recovery services vault, and also to not only that, offering longer retention as well. So because backups are part of it, you get the retention up to 99 years as part of it as well. So that's all good stuff.
All right, so beyond our Christmas break, which we wish, again, all our listeners a great time and a safe time with their family, and again, hopefully you will get some time off. Looking forward to 2018. This will be our last podcast for 2017, so we'll be back in 2018, bigger, badder, and better, no doubt. So what about a New Year's resolution for people as we finish off here, Mark? What's your New Year's technology resolution for 2018?
To get less sleep and do more work.
Oh, that's currently what you're doing now, isn't it? Have you got that round the right way?
Try not to fall asleep in front of the computer. Try to sit in front of the computer and work rather than like getting to the point 10 o'clock at night and like, no, I'm done.
You get distracted by all those cat videos on YouTube.
I wish. I don't like cats.
Oh, I see. You're a dog person. I see. Right. All those dog
more
videos.
A dog person. Yeah, but if I wish I had time, but no.
All right. So I think that with that, there's nothing else burning that I have. I'm sure nothing else from you, Mark. Is there?
Well, I guess on that is at night, just learning to sleep better, because if the amount of work that people do and the amount of work that I do, you go to bed at night and you can't sleep because your brain hasn't had a chance to wind down yet. But then getting that time to wind down, these
don't
days
you
don't
you
harder.
Take your brain out and put it in a little jar beside the bed there and give it the recharge, put it on the, you know, the wireless charging mat. Oh, sorry, that's your Apple Watch. I beg your pardon.
That's my watch, and then the phone's not far beside it. But trying to sleep, and then you wake up in the middle of the night thinking, "Oh, geez, I've got to send this email," or "Geez, I've got to do this." You just, I don't know, it's just nonstop. And then you get to the point where you have lunch during the day, and then just after lunch, you're just like, ugh, you just feel like you want to go to sleep.
Maybe you're having too much coffee. That may be causing an effect.
You reckon?
Well, it's possible. Why don't you try going without with a little bit? Yeah, well, you never know. Caffeine can affect the metabolism there, so maybe cut down on that sort of thing, and again, have your last cup of coffee a good couple of hours before you look to do bed. And probably another good idea is to avoid screen time an hour to 90 minutes before you actually do head off to Sleepy Bobo's or whatever. So again, there are certain things that you can try to minimize the disruption of sleep, and then there is also medical options as well, but we'd need to speak to a doctor to make that happen, I think.
So what's the reason why people feel tired and lethargic just after lunch?
Well, I think, well, again, part of it is that obviously when you eat food, the blood from your body tends to then move to your stomach to help you digest the lunch partaking, and that obviously detracts from important organs like your brain, which also needs a good supply of blood and energy. So generally that would be a generalized opinion as to why after having a meal at lunchtime you can feel very lethargic as well. So again, different depending on the people. Some people look at it and say rather than having a largest lunch, you have a number of smaller meals through the day to again keep your metabolism basically running at the same level. So think of it like a petrol tank. Basically you don't run until it's empty and then fill it all up. You do little fill-ups along the way, splash and dashes, to keep it at a certain level throughout the day. So probably a few things that you can try to see if that makes any difference as well.
Oh, thanks, Rob. So in the new year, our podcast is going to turn into a cross-technology and podcast.
No, I've decided.
Dr. Rob.
No, Dr. Bob.
We can get guests on to talk to Dr. Rob.
No, I've failed to let you in on this little secret. The news resolution for the Need to Know podcast is we're going to become all about cryptocurrency from 2018. Just letting you know now.
Don't say anything about what you told me yesterday.
So again, one of the big technology changes I think in 2017 has obviously been the growth and the publicity around Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. We're now seeing a lot of larger companies jump in. We have some coins that Microsoft is getting involved with looking for their IoT.
That's enough. I haven't got any yet, so just not yet.
So I think that 2018 is probably going to be the year that we hear of Mark buying big time into the cryptocurrency and then probably the market crashing, because when Mark jumps in, there may be a bit of a reaction to that. But I think that cryptocurrency is going to be huge. It is something now that you can, I accept donations on my blog. I certainly add the Bitcoin option on all the invoices I do now, I'm not seeing, obviously, a huge amount
and
of people flocking
to it.
If
you get Rob's services and pay in Bitcoin, you get a discount.
Yeah, at this stage. So some of the things I've done recently is I have now some courses up on my online academy around Microsoft 365. So there are some discounts and some offers if you do pay in Bitcoin. So let us know about that. But we'll certainly be accepting Bitcoin donations in 2018. But I think that, again, that's
going to be... If you're a tax man listening from the tax department, it's okay. It's all still above board. Is that correct, Rob?
Well, I think at the end of the day, as long as you obviously declare the amount of capital gains that you make, you don't try and hide it, I don't think there'll be any problem. And again, if you treat it as a normal investment, do your due diligence and do it the correct way, then yes, it's all above board. I think that, again, cryptocurrency, like the internet back in the day, is a major technology game changer, disruptor. And we'll have to see what happens. So it's certainly got the news of late. It's certainly got people talking. Again, it may seem as though everybody's into cryptocurrency, but it is still a very small percentage of people. But we expect to see that grow. But again, it's going to be a certainly very interesting field and topic to follow. And again, watch out for Mark's feedback as he dives into that area in 2018. So we'll keep track of his portfolio and basically see how he goes. I'm sure it's going to go through a roller coaster of emotion, no doubt.
Yeah.
Something else for you to keep you busy and keep you up at night, maybe. How about that?
Perfect. Keep me awake, stressed, like, oh, there goes the cryptocurrency. It's gone downhill, not uphill.
All right, well, I think that we probably can't handle much more stress from Mark on this Need to Know podcast. We probably need to let him get away, finish his travel bookings, packing his children up so that they are ready to go, finishing off the last emails as much as he can before his inbox begins to overflow again while he's taking travel. So I'll take this opportunity, obviously, to wish Mark and, again, all the listeners all the best for the new year. Thank Mark for his contribution on the Need to Know podcast. Wouldn't be the same without him. It's very hard to make fun of myself, so it's always good to have someone else to do that.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Rob. Listen, it wouldn't be the same without your side of things as well, your news and your inputs.
So again... It's always this is the feel good episode, the one and only feel good episode we have for a year, and then we're back into the normal run of the mill things, I think, in 2018. So we should be back to normal. Probably not.
By the way,
yep.
Thanks for breakfast yesterday too.
No problems at all. It's always good to meet Mark in person, and maybe we should do some more meetups where we can get our listeners to come and meet the man behind the microphone.
It's not what you said yesterday.
What? What do you mean?
That's not what you said yesterday.
What was that?
All right, move on.
Move on, yeah. Look, yesterday's yesterday. It's all gone. So, anything else from you, Mark, before we wind it up and let people get on with their day?
Nope. That's basically it. Thanks to Rode, our sponsor, of course. Ongoing sponsor of the mics, which has been fantastic.
All right, so again, thanks everybody for listening. Appreciate your support in 2017. Looking forward to providing you bigger and better content and more exciting news around the Microsoft Cloud in 2018. What's the best way for people to get in contact, Mark, with us?
So on Twitter is probably the best, is at N2K Podcast.
There's also at N2K Podcast on Facebook. You can contact us by feedback at needtoknow.cloud. You'll find all previous episodes at podcast.needtoknow.cloud. If you want to follow Mark and follow his holiday and his overflowing inbox, how can they do that, Mark?
Well, that's easy. That's very, very easy. All they need to do is jump onto Twitter and go to at Mark Keen. So MARCKEAN is probably the best.
So what does the four-letter acronym MARC stand for?
You'll have to ask the voice recognition service that we talked about.
Right, okay. All right, so you can reach me at DirectCIA on Twitter. And again, my blog is at blog.ciaops.com. I'll be happily blogging away during the break, enjoying the reduced traffic and obviously less people around, getting some ready for those New Year Boxing Day shopping specials. We'll see what's out there, what we can take advantage of while everybody else is out there fighting the traffic and enjoying other locations. But
yeah, Sydney's going to turn into a ghost town.
Thank God for that. We'll actually be back to being a small country town. So looking forward
really?
To that.
It was once before, was it?
Yeah, that's right. It was once. We've got some hot spells to get through first, but after that, I think that will be all well and good. So everybody, enjoy
it's
your
all,
holiday.
It's all my fault. I moved down to Sydney about 10 years ago, and everyone followed me.
So I think with that, we'll call an end to this episode of the Need to Know podcast. Another year of the Need to Know podcast. We'll thank everybody for their support, and we'll see you all in 2018.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.